This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to a special bonus episode of Hot Off the Wire. In this edition of our daily news program, we feature a selection of stories covering a variety of topics. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, those stories from the Associated Press.
As climate disasters are becoming more frequent, there's a growing number of students who struggle in the aftermath. Long after debris from floods, wildfires, and other natural disasters are cleared away. A collaboration from Blue Ridge Public Radio, the Associated Press, and other outlets reveals the tolls of these disasters on students from North Carolina to Hawaii. I'm Jose Sandoval, one of the reporters on the project. Joining me by Zoom is AP reporter Makaya Seminara and BPR's Laura Hackett to talk about how Hurricane Helene impacted students in western North Carolina. Makaya and Laura, welcome.
Hey there.
Thanks for having us, Jose.
So, Laura, almost a year ago, the most devastating natural disaster in North Carolina's history, Hurricane Helene, took out roads, power, internet, and water systems for weeks and closed schools as a result. How did this impact students?
Yeah, I mean, how didn't it impact students? Honestly, it was a really life-changing event for so many people. We had some of the worst floods and landslides in state history. There were a lot of fatalities with students and teachers losing their homes. And all in all, it was a really traumatic event that some students are just starting to process. And even for the students who didn't have it as bad, you know, they were able to stay in their house, they were able to stay with their family, they went without internet and power, which might not seem like the most dire thing, but it meant students couldn't talk with their friends during a really tough time. I spoke with two middle school students, Savannah Jefferson and Abby Rodriguez, and they both shared a little bit about how difficult it was not to be able to support each other in this time.
She's definitely one of my, like, biggest supporters, and I definitely talk to her a lot with a lot of my problems. She just helps me with a lot of things, so not being able to speak to her and say how I feel was, like, really difficult for the both of us.
That's just one example of how these students really lost a sense of stability and safety.
On the topic of displacement, many families were displaced from Helene, leading to thousands of students being federally recognized as homeless. Makaya, could you discuss some of the trends you notice in regards to student homelessness in Western North Carolina?
Yeah, so natural disasters are a growing contributor to student homelessness nationwide. It isn't surprising that after Helene, student homelessness surged in parts of Western North Carolina. And according to the state data we obtained, more than 2,500 students were identified as homeless as a direct result of Helene. And that's just the kids that were formally identified by their school districts.
And beyond, of course, the discomfort of being displaced, did you find any other long-term impacts for students, their families, or even educators who lost their homes?
Definitely. So as students were navigating housing instability, a lot of those already existing problems that come to mind after a natural disaster can then be exacerbated. When it comes to struggling academically, school closures and disaster-related absences are some of the biggest drivers. And in fact, missing school because of natural disasters seems to take a greater toll on students than other reasons for not coming to class. For example, studies show that a middle schooler who misses out on a week of instruction due to a natural disaster is actually losing about 3 weeks of progress in reading and about 4 weeks in math. And that just leaves those students feeling like it's almost impossible to catch up in their classes. And then on top of that, many of the students we spoke to also still felt trauma and anxiety months after the storm. And I mean, it makes sense because a lot of them lost pretty much everything. And those feelings don't just live in a vacuum outside of school. Those feelings follow students into the classroom and then make it hard for them to focus on their lessons or interact with their classmates.
It's almost 1 year since Hurricane Helene hit the region. Laura, what are other challenges schools are still facing?
In Western North Carolina, particularly the very rugged, mountainous parts, there's been a lot of transit issues. A lot of roads were hit with both flooding and landslides, which we discussed, and that's made transporting students to school through the bus system more complicated. They also don't really have the option to do remote school because there's a lot of areas that have still not regained reliable internet access.
This collaboration also looked at places that are further than Western North Carolina in storm recovery. Places like Maui, which had devastating fires in 2023, and Paradise, California, that had a fire in 2018. Makai, what did you learn, and what are the lingering problems?
I think one of the things we gathered from this project, which might not come as a surprise to people who have lived through devastating natural disasters, is that recovery, frankly, takes a very long time, especially for education. And Jose, you brought up Paradise, California, and I think that there's no better example of that. I mean, it's been almost a decade since the campfire of 2018, and in Paradise, students are still struggling with their test scores and achieving college entrance requirements. And when you look at the recovery in North Carolina and Hawaii, who experienced more recent natural disasters, they're kind of in the beginning stages of recovery, but it's almost certain that it's going to take quite a while for schools to rebound. And I think the other thing I really want to emphasize is that natural disasters are seemingly the next big disruptor for education that we should both be keeping an eye on, but also finding solutions for. You know, we all think of the COVID-19 pandemic as this pinnacle of disruption for students. And I think, you know, that's for good reason. I mean, you know, the pandemic caused lingering learning problems and mental health issues and chronic absenteeism that we're still dealing with 5 years later. But when we're talking about other events that reach the scale of disruption that the pandemic did, I think natural disasters are definitely up there. And we can continue to view them as these unfortunate, isolated crises. But through this project, you really see that a lot of these events are interconnected and they share similar negative impacts on education, no matter where you are in the country. And I think the bottom line to really emphasize is that intense natural disasters are becoming more frequent and more widespread throughout the country in places we really would not expect. I think Helene was the wake-up call for that in many senses, but it's up to the rest of the country to hear it and act.
That was AP reporter Makaya Samanera and BPR reporter Laura Hackett. Thank you both so much for speaking with me.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for the conversation.
Did I put the clothes in the dryer? I hope they don't think I was serious.
I need to be awake.
Snacks.
I have my brain shut.
Just sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise, but there's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better. Like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ziprecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
While cases have dropped more than 99%, polio remains entrenched in parts of Afghanistan and Pakistan. Polio eradication expert Tom Frieden says in some countries polio just persists. Programs haven't been able to reach the kind of quality needed to get rid of it.
In Pakistan and Afghanistan, the wild poliovirus has never gone away. So in those two countries, the last two countries in the world, we still have the old-fashioned millennia-old poliovirus.
Frieden, who sits on an independent board reviewing polio eradication, has urged WHO and partners to adopt obstacles in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Since 2011, the board has issued regular reports about program failures, but this has had little impact, while some WHO documents have flagged cases of falsified vaccination records and workers improperly administering vaccines. With an annual budget of about $1 billion, polio eradication is among the most expensive initiatives in public health. I'm Charles Delathesma.
A drier, warmer climate is boosting interest in low-water landscaping to get away from green lawns. Drought and water restrictions are taking a toll on landscaping.
Water is going to keep getting more expensive. Your lawn is going to stop working and looking good. The weeds are going to take over. You're going to have to address it. Going to have to open your eyes and say, what could I do that's different and better?
Landscaper Aaron Murphy near Denver is a proponent of xeriscaping, which vastly reduces the need for irrigation. One suggestion is a gravel garden.
You can also have a lush prairie. You can have a crevice garden or a rock garden with tiny little plants growing amid stone features.
Or how about a cactus garden?
It's just about using plants that are supposed to be here.
There are also financial incentives and rebates in several states to make the transformation to xeriscaping more affordable. I'm Ed Donahue.
The Treasury Department has submitted proposed regulations on President Donald Trump's no tax on tips promise to the Federal Register. The no tax on tips provision in the Republicans' massive tax and spending law signed by Trump in July allows certain workers to deduct up to $25,000 in qualified tips per year. The deduction phases out for taxpayers with a modified adjusted gross income of $150,000. The Treasury has put together a list of qualified occupations, such as cocktail waiters, cake bakers, maids, and even wedding planners. But the tips must be voluntarily given, so mandatory tips or auto gratuities would not qualify. The no tax on tips provision would be implemented retroactively to January 1st of this year through 2028. Donna Water, Washington.
The risk of a partial government shutdown in 2 weeks is rising. This morning, Speaker Mike Johnson and the GOP-led House narrowly passed a bill that would have extended government funding past the October 1st deadline.
The ball is in Chuck Schumer's court.
Hours later, the Senate rejected competing bills, with Republican leader John Thune blasting Schumer and Democrats for insisting on sharp spending hikes.
They're not being serious.
And Schumer, in turn, blaming President Trump and Republicans for refusing to negotiate over health care cuts in the GOP bills.
Senate Republicans just voted to shut the government down.
What's next is uncertain. Senators could leave town until a day before the October 1st deadline. Johnson may keep the House home as well, essentially forcing the Senate to approve the House measure or risk a shutdown. An AP source says the federal prosecutor whose office is investigating mortgage fraud allegations against New York Attorney General Letitia James has been told to either resign or be fired. It's unclear whether U.S. Attorney Eric Siebert's Eastern District of Virginia prosecutors have uncovered enough evidence needed to indict James. Trump administration officials have been aggressively pursuing allegations against her in a push to criminally charge a perceived Trump adversary who filed a civil suit against him and his company. U.S. attorneys are rarely fired despite being presidential appointees, but the Trump administration has repeatedly disregarded norms intended to insulate federal prosecutors from White House influence. President Trump's statements in the wake of Jimmy Kimmel's late-night show suspension are drawing strong Democrat condemnation. The president says Kimmel was actually fired for low ratings, not talking about Charlie Kirk's suspected assassin.
You can call that free speech or not.
He was fired for lack of talent.
But just yesterday floated having his FCC chair go after other networks.
They give me only bad publicity or press. I mean, they're getting a license. I would think maybe their license should be taken away.
On the Senate floor.
He is talking about a dictatorship. That's what dictatorships do.
Top Democrat Chuck Schumer.
They shut down anyone who has any disagreement with them.
While the FCC's chair describes it as the administration rooting out liberal bias among the networks, Schumer says the president's assaulting the Constitution in broad daylight.
On perhaps the most basic freedom in America, free speech.
Late night show hosts have weighed in on Jimmy Kimmel's suspension with a mix of humor and solidarity. On Comedy Central,
my name is Jon Stewart,
making a rare Thursday appearance on The Daily Show on a set featuring decorative gold, mocking President Trump's refashioned Oval Office.
We have another fun, hilarious administration compliant show.
On NBC,
I've always admired and respected Mr. Trump.
Seth Meyers, preceded by Jimmy Fallon.
To be honest with you all, I don't know what's going on. And no one does.
But he does know Kimmel.
And he's a decent, funny, and loving guy, and I hope he comes back.
And on CBS.
I still have a show, though, right? Okay, good.
2 months after the network said it would cancel his show, Stephen Colbert attacked Kimmel's suspension.
That is blatant censorship.
President Trump says he plans on meeting with China's leader. After talking on the phone with Xi Jinping, the president says the meetings will happen both at a summit next month in South Korea and in China early next year. The president says Xi will also come here to the U.S. at an appropriate time. He writes on social media the two leaders also approved a deal over TikTok, which faces a U.S. ban unless its Chinese parent company sells a controlling stake. Earlier this week,
I hate to see value like that thrown out the window.
It's unclear, though, just what Xi approved. Beijing says it would be happy to see negotiations over TikTok. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
The Senate has confirmed Mike Waltz to be the next U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. That means the last open seat in President Donald Trump's cabinet is filled after 8 months of delays and the withdrawal of a previous nominee. At his Senate confirmation hearing for U.N. ambassador in July of this year,
the U.N.'s radical politicization, such reports as, quote, stolen Native American land, reports and investigations, quote, called the George Floyd mechanism, labeling American police in America systemically racist. With input from countries like Cuba and Venezuela, it's unacceptable.
For a few weeks, Waltz was Trump's national security advisor before he was ousted in May. That's after he mistakenly added a journalist to a private signal chat used to discuss sensitive military plans. He's denied being removed from the post and said that the chat met the administration's cybersecurity standards. The Pentagon's inspector general is investigating. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
A federal judge in Florida has tossed out a $15 billion defamation lawsuit filed by President Donald Trump against the New York Times. The judge ruled that Trump's 85-page lawsuit was overly long and full of tedious and burdensome language that had no bearing on the legal case, noting that the lawsuit did not get to the first defamation count until page 80. Trump now has 28 days to file an amended complaint not to exceed 40 pages. The lawsuit targeted 4 New York Times journalists for a book and 3 articles published within a 2-month period before the 2024 election that focused on Trump's finances and his pre-presidency role in The Apprentice. The New York Times said the lawsuit was an attempt to discourage independent reporting. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Mudslides in Southern California have trapped drivers, buried roads, and damaged homes. That comes 10 hours after several Southern California communities were hit by heavy rain. No one was hurt, and authorities say no one is reported missing. Intense rains hit the community for more than an hour on Thursday afternoon as remnants of Tropical Storm Mario reached the mountainous area. The mudslides affected the towny mountain communities of Forest Falls, Oak Glen, and Potato Canyon in San Bernardino County, just east of Los Angeles. Authorities rescued 10 people traveling in at least 6 vehicles who were stranded on Route 38 near the San Bernardino National Forest. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Hey, this is Russell Wilson.
This is Joe Montana.
This is Dak Prescott.
Hey, this is Jason Kelsey. And you're listening to Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Welcome to the APs on Football. I'm Rob Motti. Week 3 has some interesting matchups across the NFL. There's a playoff rematch between the LA Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles. That's in Philly. That'll be at the link. There's a big Monday night game. The Baltimore Ravens host the Detroit Lions. Our guest this week, Packers coach Matt LaFleur. Green Bay is off to a 2-0 start. And next week, Micah Parsons returns to Dallas to face the Cowboys. But this week, they can't look ahead because they've got a road trip against the Cleveland Browns. We'll start this off with pro picks. It's a tough slate of games. There's several quarterback injuries. There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of things that are up in the air. The four-pack was 2-2 straight up and 2-2 against the spread last week. On the season, overall, we're 25-7 straight up. We're 18-14 against the spread. My best bet, I'm looking at Sunday Night Football, Kansas City Chiefs at the New York Giants. Chiefs are a 6.5-point favorite. I'm not counting the Chiefs out at 0-2. They need to get some key players healthy. Patrick Mahomes, he's leading the team in rushing. They need somebody else to step up there. Giants offense was impressive last week. Russell Wilson threw for 450 against the Dallas Cowboys. Who said he can't play football anymore? Giants also have a ferocious front four that can give Mahomes and that Chiefs offensive line some trouble. Dak picked apart their secondary last week. I think Mahomes can get a little bit back on track. I've got Kansas City winning this game going away 30-17. Upset specials are 2-0 so far. And this week, I'm looking at 0-2 Houston on the road against Jacksonville. They're a one-point underdog. Hey, that makes it an upset. The Texans started 0-2 2 years ago when Coach DeMeco Ryans and QB CJ Stroud were both in their first season together, and they ended up winning the division and won the division the next year. So it's a must-win for them. Liam Cohen has the Jaguars playing much better. The Texans just have to be more disciplined. Way too many penalties Monday night against the Buccaneers. I've got Houston winning this one 23-20. All right, let's go to the Rams at Eagles. It's a playoff rematch. Philly is a 3.5-point favorite. Saquon Barkley ran all over the Rams last year. 460 yards rushing in 2 games, 4 touchdowns, 3 from 70-plus yards. And the one that wasn't, 62 yards. Rams had a shot to eliminate the Eagles, though, still, despite all that. In the playoffs, 13 yards away, they could have won that game down 28-22. Eagles keep winning ugly, but I think this week it's time for Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown to get back on track with the Rams maybe focusing a little bit too much on Saquon Barkley. Philly 27-23. We'll finish the four-pack with Monday Night Football. Lions at Ravens. Baltimore's a 5-point favorite, and I think the odds makers are disrespecting the Lions just a little bit here. Lions won 15 games last year. Yeah, they lost week one against Green Bay. They bounced back, scored 52 points, and racked up 500-plus yards. And here's Baltimore. They started out as a 5.5-point favorite, and the injuries knocked it down to 5. I thought this would be a little bit 3, 3.5, and this is one of those games. You'll hear me say that throughout the season. The line is telling me something here, and it's telling me to take the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson, 33-26. Packers coach Matt LaFleur has Green Bay off to a 2-0 start. He's got a 69-33 career record in Green Bay. They haven't had the success that they want in the playoffs. It's all about winning the Lombardi Trophy in Green Bay. But Micah Parsons has made them a Super Bowl contender.
Hey, Matt, thank you for your time. You've had a ton of success in Green Bay. 3-13 win seasons, playoffs 5 times. But obviously, you know what it's like in Green Bay. Ultimate goal is to hoist the Lombardi. How far are you guys from that?
Well, that's a hell of a question. No, I think our guys, you know, we feel like we got a really competitive team. But as you know, a lot of things, there's a lot of variables, a lot of factors that got to go your way in order to reach that goal. So my mindset, just like our team, is, you know, you got to take it one day at a time and focus on the things that are within your control and, you know, just put your best foot forward and try to get a little bit better each and every day.
Most coaches are telling their teams, you got to take care of your division. You got to try and get the best seed you can. You guys are obviously in a very difficult, tough division. It's a tough NFC.
How much do you try and emphasize? I know you say it to us all the time, one day at a time, one game at a time, week to week. But that really has to be the mindset, doesn't it, Matt?
Yeah, I think because when you look at the totality, especially our schedule, then you got the AFC North that we have to play and the NFC East. If you look at the totality of the schedule, it's like, holy cow, this is a gauntlet. But when you break it down, you try to live in the moment and truly take it that one day at a time. It looks a lot less daunting, although we know it's going to be a grind. But basically, I mean, we're all, our whole division's playing those other teams as well. And we know we got a tough competitive division. I mean, you mentioned all three of those teams have certainly gotten, I feel like, better every year. I think just, you know, Chicago and Ben Johnson, and then they've done a really good job with their roster. And then obviously everybody's chasing Detroit, what they've been able to do the last couple of years. And I mean, Minnesota was right there with them right at the end. So, yeah, it's a competitive schedule, but that's kind of what you want, because if you can get through it and get on the other side of that, you will be battle tested, and it'll set you up, I think, hopefully for better success in the postseason.
All the talk always comes down to all the credit or all the blame, the coach and the quarterback, and sometimes it's unfair. It's a team sport. It's the ultimate team sport. What have you seen from Jordan? And I feel like his health last year was kind of a little bit of a hindrance throughout the season. But what have you seen from him?
I think the biggest jump that I've seen from him is just, I think he's definitely just to see the growth from a leadership perspective, which is imperative to, I think, our success. If your quarterback is the guy that it is the leader, he's definitely earned the respect of everybody in the locker room by his action and how he treats his teammates. And I think he's taken that jump as a leader, which should service us well.
Different quarterbacks lead in different ways. Different coaches lead in different ways. To you, what makes an effective, a great leader?
Well, you got to be authentic. You got to be true to yourself. And then I think just your actions obviously have to back up what you're saying. And then, you know, just how consistent you can be. I think there's, yeah, the communication, all that is imperative to being a great leader.
You're off football all the time. Do you have a hobby, like a face, something that you love to do outside?
You know, Rob, I've kind of gotten into golf a little bit. Now I stink, but it allows me to live by the motto, show me a coach that can golf, I'll show you a bad coach. So, but no, I like to hang out with friends, drink some wine, listen to music. I love going down to my lake house in Green Lake and getting on the boat and relaxing. That's usually where you'll find the best version of me in the summertime, when we get about 4 weeks off, just relaxing on the lake.
Back for some final thoughts. We're 2 weeks into the season. There's 10 teams that are 0-2, and each one of those teams faces a tough road to the playoffs. Not many surprises among the 10, except for the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans, two division winners. In Kansas City, divisions really don't matter. Division titles, that's not what it's about. It's about winning that fourth Super Bowl ring. It's Super Bowl or bust, and only three teams have ever started 0-2 and went on to win the Super Bowl. Since 2020, when playoffs were expanded, only 11.5% of the teams that started 0-2 made the playoffs. So I'm hearing a lot of people say this is the end of the Chiefs dynasty. Some of those same people may have said the same thing when the Patriots got destroyed by Kansas City. I believe it was a Monday night game. It was 2014. The Patriots fell to 2-2. Remember, that was the on to Cincinnati game? Well, what did the Patriots do? Bill Belichick, Tom Brady got everything back on track. They went on and won the Super Bowl that year. They went on and won a fifth Super Bowl. They went on and won a sixth Super Bowl. I'm not saying the Chiefs are going to do that and win three more Super Bowls, but I'm not ready to proclaim that this dynasty is over or this run of dominance is over. It's a tough division. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have a lot to figure out. They'd be 1-1 if Travis Kelce would have caught that ball in the end zone last week or near the end zone and not dropped it and turned it into an interception. They could have beat the Super Bowl champion Eagles in the rematch. So I believe the Chiefs are far from finished.
I've got some confidence in Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. That's it for this week. Thank you to Coach Matt LaFleur. Thank you for listening to On Football. And thanks to Haya Panjwani for producing this episode. Please check out AP.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
News.com for the full pro picks, On Football analysis, and much more NFL news.
This year's Ryder Cup might be the most anticipated one of them all. The Americans are desperate to win back the 17-inch Gold Cup from Europe. They'll be on home soil at Bethpage Black on Long Island in New York. The public course has a reputation of having the loudest and at times most obnoxious gallery in golf. Add to that two teams competing for flags and it's a recipe for a wild week. Justin Thomas believes it will be the biggest golf event ever. Justin Rose says Europe is anticipating a rude welcome and is up for the challenge. A new poll finds sports fans are likelier to use a combination of streaming services and traditional TV options to access their favorite teams. The Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research poll shows this complicated and often expensive patchwork is common for many sports fans and leaves them beholden to multiple platforms and subscriptions. About 4 in 10 people who follow sports extremely or very closely use both cable and satellite TV plus a sports streaming platform. That's compared with about 2 in 10 people who follow sports somewhat closely. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
On this week's AP Religion Roundup, support from faith-based groups helps stabilize Scouting America. A scout bugler plays during the Retirement of Color ceremony at a troop meeting in Santa Clarita, California. For the Boy Scouts organization, recently renamed Scouting America, the past 12 years have been challenging. The 115-year-old organization is serving far fewer youths than its peak decades ago.
There is a place, we think, for every child in our organization.
Scouting America CEO Roger Krohn says that the faith component remains an integral part of the program.
The duty to God is written in our bylaws. It is a fundamental organizational principle of Scouting America.
Scouting in the United States has experienced a number of milestones and stumbling blocks over the years. In 2013, it opened its programs to gay scouts, and more recently, to girls. In 2013, the United Methodist denomination accounted for almost 350,000 youth members in the Boy Scouts. Today, that figure is less than 53,000. The organization's bankruptcy in 2020 was tied to compensation for thousands of men claiming they were sexually abused as scouts. Also in 2020, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints withdrew more than 400,000 scouts in favor of its own programs. Still, Faith-based organizations account for 42% of the nearly 40,000 units operated by chartered organizations. The Catholic Church oversees more than 3,500 troops.
I've had, you know, several friends who, you know, they don't necessarily have a specific religion. It's not that they're one way or the other, but they're open to it. I'll have conversations with them about it.
Life Scout Michael Tazai is part of a troop organized by a Catholic church.
People who I feel who don't have a specific religion are very curious about, you know, my religion and being Catholic. And they want to know how it works and all these things about it.
Alongside Christian groups, nearly 250 units are sponsored by Muslim, Jewish, and Buddhist organizations. Today, about 1 million youth are involved in the Scouting America program. I'm Walter Ratliff.
A self-portrait by Frida Kahlo could set records when it's sold at auction at Sotheby's in November. El Sueño La Cama has an estimated price of $40 to $60 million. It may surpass the highest price for a female's artist work ever, currently $44.4 million for Georgia O'Keeffe's Jimson Weed White Flower No. 1. The Kahlo painting, created in 1940, depicts the Mexican artist in a four-poster bed with a skeleton lying atop it. Sotheby's expert Julian Dawes says it's a psychological self-portrait by an artist at her peak. It's part of a November 8 sale featuring over 100 surrealist works. Interest in surrealism is rising, with the genre's market share increasing significantly over recent years. I'm Charles Teledesma.
Trivial Pursuit, the Star Wars lightsaber, Furbies, cornhole, and even snow might join the Toy Hall of Fame. Chris Bench at the Strong Museum says the cardboard box and even sand have been inducted in the past.
Every now and again, we want to include something that people play with, but isn't a manufactured toy.
He says they had more than 2,100 nominations and whittled them down to 12 finalists that also include Battleship, Catan, Connect 4, Spirograph, Slime, The Scooter, and Tickle Me Elmo.
There are not a lot of surprises. What is more of a surprise is, you mean that hasn't been a finalist so far?
Honorees will be announced in November. Julie Walker, New York.
Republicans' views about the direction of the country have soured dramatically since June, according to a new AP North poll of more than 1,000 Americans that was conducted shortly after the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And Republicans are also more likely to say that the country is going in the wrong direction than they were in June. That shift is especially dramatic among younger Republicans and conservative women. This is a striking drop on direction of the country, which is a question where we don't usually see a lot of movement. It's a noteworthy sign of unhappiness. It's hard to say exactly why this shift took place, but we followed up with some people who took the poll, and some of them mentioned concerns about growing political violence, but some of them also mentioned anxiety about the economy.
Electric vehicle maker Rivian believes its vehicles are superior, and company leaders are expressing confidence they'll succeed even without environmental and tax incentives. The California-based company has yet to turn a profit, and as of September 30th, electric vehicle buyers will no longer qualify for a $7,500 tax credit after President Trump's successful effort to kill it. Still, Rivian's going ahead with a groundbreaking for a $5 billion electric vehicle plant in Georgia. Rivian sees it as key to reaching profitability, adding to its current production plant in Illinois. Rivian's truck prices start at $71,000, but the Illinois plant will begin making smaller SUVs next year, with prices starting at $45,000. I'm Ben Thomas.
About half of adults in the U.S. who were surveyed by the Associated Press and the NORC Center for Public Affairs Research say that Israel's military response in the Gaza Strip has gone too far. That's up from 40% in November 2023, about a month after Hamas started the conflict, killing about 1,200 people in an assault on Israel and taking 251 hostages. Now fewer Americans than just a few months ago say that negotiating a ceasefire should be a high priority for the U.S. Israel has just expanded its ground offensive on Gaza City and is facing increased international scrutiny over its conduct in Gaza. A team of independent experts commissioned by the United Nations Human Rights Council said this week that it has concluded that Israel has committed genocide. Donna Water, Washington.
A drill echoes through tunnels deep within Mexico's pine-covered mountains known as the Sierra Gorda, where miners search for one of Earth's most toxic elements, mercury. It's part of the process in illegal gold mining, despite global efforts to ban mercury mining. Soaring international gold prices driving up mercury prices between $240 and $350 per kilogram. That demand triggering a rush in central Mexico, but it also exposes miners and the fragile environment to mercury poisoning. Mexican mercury is also fueling illegal gold mining in the Amazon, contaminating large areas and harming both people and the environment. I'm Julie Walker.
The towers of Paris's Notre Dame Cathedral have reopened Friday, 6 years after one of the world's most famous landmarks was ravaged by fire, the famous bells ringing out loudly over the city. President Emmanuel Macron inaugurated the opening, which also marks the final stage of the cathedral's reconstruction. Now the tower tour features new spaces, such as close-up access to the bells. Notre Dame's journey from ruin to resurrection is defined by extraordinary craftsmanship, nearly $1 billion in global donations, and a collective, unyielding determination to rebuild. Estonia's foreign ministry says Russian aircraft stayed for 12 minutes. Foreign Minister Margus Sakar stating that Russia had violated Estonian airspace four times this year, but this incursion was particularly brazen. The incident on Friday occurred over the Gulf of Finland and involved three Russian MiG 31 fighters. The Russian Shah d'Affaires was summoned and given a protest note. This marks a significant escalation in airspace violations between the two countries. The incident comes just over a week after NATO planes downed Russian drones over Poland and heightened fears that the war in Ukraine could spill over. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The sound of shovels scraping against asphalt echoed in western Port-au-Prince this month as hundreds of people cleaned their communities or ran their hands through mounds of ashes that were once books, clothes, photo albums, and furniture. Gangs seized control of the area for almost a year, only to abruptly leave in recent weeks as they encouraged residents to return. Police have told Haitians that it's not safe to do so, but hundreds of people are ignoring those warnings. Once the proud owner of a funeral home, a hardware store, a botanica, and eight homes, one man says he is now homeless and without a job. Fishing for 50 cents, he bought a small bag of corn chips. It was his breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He says he's been left with only a pair of pants and sandals. Gang violence in Haiti has displaced a record 1.3 million people. Searchers have discovered the wreckage of a schooner that sank during a Lake Michigan storm almost 140 years ago. The F.J. King was a 144-foot, three-masted schooner built in 1867 in Toledo, Ohio. The ship carried cargo across the Great Lakes for 19 years before she went down in a storm on September 15, 1886. Searchers have been looking for the ship since the 1970s, lending to the F.J. King's reputation as a ghost ship. Waves ruptured her seams, and after several hours of pumping, Captain William Griffin ordered his men into the ship's yawl boat. The schooner finally sank bow first around 2 a.m., with the ship's stern deckhouse blowing away in the storm. The crew were rescued by a passing schooner. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The Ig Nobel Prizes were handed out in Boston for science done under the radar. A team of researchers from Japan won an Ig Nobel for painting cows with zebra-like stripes to prevent flies from biting them. Another group pondered the types of pizza lizards preferred to eat. William Bean's son accepted his posthumous Ig Nobel for recording and analyzing the growth of one of his fingernails over a 35-year period.
One of the wonderful things about doing a long-term experiment on yourself is you never lose anybody to do it on. As long as you're alive, you have a subject.
There was also a mini opera about gastroenterologists inspired by this year's theme, which is digestion.
Eat. We've got to eat. We've got to feed our guts.
The Ig Nobel Prize is a handmade model of a human stomach. And instead of money, each winner is given a single hand wipe. I'm Ed Donahue.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
Did I put the clothes in the dryer?
I hope they don't think I was serious about this.
I need to be awake.
Snacks.
I want
my brain shut
off.
Just sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise, but there's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better. Like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.